everybody. I'm Maya.
I'm Melissa.
And I'm Olivia.
And we're here to take you back to
your
twilight phase.
Hi, guys.
Once again, I have incredible gossip that I just can't tell you, listeners. I'm sorry.
It was really good gossip.
Just
really
for good. a little teaser to a thing that you won't later receive. somebody that we know talked shit about somebody else that we know that we didn't know if they knew. You know, when you like, you know, when there's that person and you're like, they know suck. That other person sucks, right? Like they must,
like this
must
person
know.
Objectively sucks, and this other person, they gotta know.
They gotta know,
but they haven't said.
But you're also like, but do they know?
And then she revealed. She knows.
Yeah.
She knows.
And now we all know. Except you guys, listeners.
Except you guys, sorry.
Just believe us that she sucks. Well, I am leaving for an international trip tomorrow night. Hopefully by the time you hear this, I will be in Scotland.
Ooh.
Knock on wood.
Should everything. Going to Edinburgh.
Yes, we are going to Edinburgh.
That's where
I've been. We're going lots of places. I'm excited.
You have to get fudge.
Fudge?
When I went to Edinburgh.
You were about to say you have to get fucked.
In Edinburgh.
Get fucked up.
I was in Edinburgh. There was like amazing fudge around every corner, which I would not have anticipated.
I didn't have fudge when I was in Edinburgh.
Yeah, I don't think I did. I'm planning on eating sticky toffee pudding every day.
Every day. I love that for you.
It's the most delicious thing I've ever had in my life.
Wow.
If there's toffee fudge, I'll eat that. I love toffee. I just love toffee.
I bet there is, because there's so much fudge.
I'm sure they have every kind of fudge imaginable.
Wow. All right. It's on the list. You know what else is on the list? Maya's favorite restaurant, Dishoom, which I have not yet been to.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I'm very proud of myself. So you always talk about it being in London, and I'm very proud of myself that I thought, I wonder if this is the chain.
I don't know if I would have ever gotten there.
And I checked, and there is.
Wow.
I'm so happy for you. I recommended Dishoom to somebody today. Scott's mom was like,
when are we going to get a Dishoom?
ASAP, I hope. But probably not.
I mean, we do live in New York City.
If the U.S. was going to get it, it would be New York City.
It would be here. Or like LA, but fuck LA.
Yeah, but fuck New York LA. Is closer.
Yeah,
so probably yes.
Exactly.
But Scott's mom was like, my friend is going to London for 2.5 days. What are like that's the short. Can't miss things? And my only answer was Dishoom.
Dishoom.
Listeners, everybody thinks I'm overhyping it and then I'm overselling really it. But it's our delicious. Friend of the pod, KF, went and she loved it so much. That she, like, kept a menu and went back over and over and took notes on the menu to make sure that she was trying every dish.
Oh, my God. I got to ask her for her notes.
Yeah, get her notes.
Melissa went, too, right?
Yes, I went, too. And not only was it delicious, it was so reasonably priced. Like, it was maybe one of the cheaper places that me and my friend ate at. And
also, you must have been going to expensive places.
I don't feel like it's cheap.
But it's definitely reasonable for what you get.
It's reasonable. It's not like...
Because it's the best food.
Yeah. So, and our waiter was
super
cool.
Any price for the best food is a great value.
And gave us free desserts. So...
Maybe we should, make up a holiday. Actually, we are celebrating our 2-year anniversary. So we could just milk that.
Yeah. Try it.
Yeah, our 2-year anniversary is accidentally, like, our first day that we are gone.
Wow. Congrats.
Am I the only one who read this chapter?
No, I read it.
Oh, sorry. Melissa, do you have updates?
Do I have updates? No.
Great. But you read this chapter.
I did. I thought I wasn't going to, and in fact, I really didn't want to.
It's short.
But I had time because I came home early.
That's nice. That's great. I'm very jealous of the golden hour sun that you're currently receiving. Oh.
So beautiful.
My favorite time of day.
I would not say that I read this chapter. Listeners, a lot went on with me today.
Yeah, Maya had a busy day.
It was. There were high highs and there were low lows, listeners.
All work related, which you know is good. You don't want. You don't want personal low lows.
No.
Yeah, I'm on. No sleep. I was up past 4 in the morning because I couldn't sleep.
Oh my God,
I was literally texting with my cousin who's in Japan about this wedding because we're getting married. Did I tell listeners that I'm getting married like really soon?
I don't know if we said that you were I don't think that we talked about the two wedding scenario.
You're having a first wedding and then later you'll have another wedding. This is the first small wedding.
Yeah, this is the little pre-wedding.
This is
wedding.
The practice wedding.
The rehearsal. Yeah, this is the one that the is technically
except
primary because it's
legal.
I'm getting married in like 3 weeks at my aunt's house. And it's so small. It's 11
Wait,
people
do you
total.
Have a registry?
11?
Give us your registry.
No, there's
only
no
11
registry.
People.
There's only 11 people.
How am I supposed to give you stuff?
The baby shower that I went to, the baby shower that I went to this weekend was like 5 times larger than that.
This is only, the only reason really you have a wedding is for registry.
But this is
that's
the pre wedding.
That's what the other wedding is for.
Okay, yeah. Well, if I let you give me gifts for this wedding, then I don't get any gifts for the next one.
That's not how gift giving works.
But I don't want to pump people for gifts, you know?
Oh my God, should we post the registry to our Instagram and our
Facebook? The registry doesn't exist. But when
it
was
only like Twilight stuff that was on the registry.
Wait, that's genius. What if it's all the normal registry stuff, like plates and like appliances?
Themed.
But yeah, it's all Twilight themed. Like I used to have a Hello Kitty mini fridge. Like...
Maya,
how
did you
so
get?
How do you feel about that?
Have you received an Etsy notification?
Let me look. To where?
To your house.
An Etsy notification
an
sent
Etsy
to my house today?
Notification sent to your email about a delivery to your house.
To my email. I was like, how are they gonna notify my house?
Was the email supposed to come today?
If they mail, no. If they mailed you.
You guys got me something special.
Yeah, we did.
Wow, that's so nice. Thanks, guys.
It's very belated for your birthday.
Wow.
I ordered it.
Your friend, we love you, Loka XOXO.
Does it show you what it is or not?
No, it doesn't.
Wow. Now you get to speculate.
You're gonna be surprised.
Wow, but I know that it's coming from Franklin, Tennessee. Wow, thanks. Wow.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday and happy
soon.
Wedding.
It took a very
get
long
that registry
time.
Off the ground, okay?
Okay, I'll work on the registry sometime in the next year.
The registry it says, is going to be the first thing I do when I know I'm getting married. Making a registry. That's what I'm doing.
Instead, the first thing I did was plan a whole other wedding. And I just could not anticipate how much stress and chaos there would be.
If there's one
Maya,
thing I
wedding.
Know in this world, it's that weddings
as
are
soon as you
the
say
most
the word wedding,
thing.
People get stressed out.
But there's only 11 of us.
Yeah, but
doesn't
you've
matter.
Applied the word
doesn't
wedding
matter.
To it.
Look, I just didn't realize this. You know, I didn't know.
I really thought that I had prepared you with my sister's wedding, but...
You're right. Really I should have felt prepared. Listeners,
never
my mom threw
that.
A fit because I didn't want to invite her best friend to this 11-person wedding. A fit, I tell you. I stood my ground.
Yeah, I'm proud of you.
Those texts were very funny to me.
It's ridiculous. My cousin last night was like, maybe all this stress is your mom's revenge for not inviting her friend. And I was like, at this point, I've dug my heels in so far on that I would rather have twice as many problems than invite her. A million times as many. And I'd be like, still no.
I'm now viewing it as when I have a child and they get married, I'm gonna be like, my best friend has to be there.
Why?
I don't know. It just feels like, I don't know, my right after having given birth to someone and raising them.
So you're saying
like
the problem is correct and nothing should change.
For their wedding.
Like, I will take that under advisement part for of the next wedding that I plan. And maybe she'll get an invite. Maybe she won't. We'll see.
I'm not inviting her.
All right, let's talk about Twilight.
Let's talk about Twilight.
And look, just in case she listens to this, look, you know I love you. So glad that you and my mom are best friends. It's just... It's a very tiny, people. It's a very tiny wedding. Oh, yeah, I hope you understand. You gotta
draw lines.
Yeah, and the drawing of the lines is really more about me reacting to my mom's pressure than about your existence.
This is about Maya's mom.
Yeah, yeah. It's only because she was trying to push it. Just like
everything always is.
Well, sometimes things are about me.
No, I'm saying according to her, not in reality.
Wow, mother's daughter.
There is a chance that my mom's best friend listens to our podcast. And I just
hi, we love you. Thanks for listening.
Hi. Thank you.
Okay, chapter 16, Carlisle. Whose turn is it?
Not mine. Okay, so I kind of thought that it was me this week, but did I do last week?
You skimmed.
No, I did last week.
Does that make it my turn or my turn?
I think we're now on whoever's editing is also doing.
That's what I think. And I think that I'm editing.
I don't know.
Yeah, I can't edit. I'll be in Scotland.
I'm not.
Yeah. I can do it. I skimmed, but like, look. I believe in you. This.
We'll give
I
you
am
a
on
handicap.
The wrong chapter, though. So
we'll give you a handicap.
Forward. Yeah. Let me scooch ahead. Okay.
I will judge you on my strictest scale.
Oh, great. Thank you. I'm down for that. Chapter 16, Carlisle. So Edward and Bella go in to talk to Carlisle and, like, get his history. They're looking at a painting that has the Volturi, although we don't know they're the Volturi yet, and Carlisle. And it's, like, London in the 1650s. And Carlisle's like, the London of my youth. And you're like, ooh, he is old now that I think about it. Okay. And Edward tells Bella the story of how Carlisle was turned into a vampire, which... Honestly, I don't feel like we need to recap because we recapped that in the previous chapter. Like, we talked about it. So, Carlisle is disgusted with his new vampiric ways, and he doesn't want to hurt people, so he's trying so hard to resist, but a herd of deer run by, and he's like, ooh, I could eat a deer, and he eats a deer. And then he's like, wow, okay, I can make this work. And that sets him on a whole new direction in his life, you know? He is studying in Italy, he eventually goes for his medical license, and he uses his superhuman, you know, like, strength to be like, no, I will not eat people. But then the influenza hits Chicago, Edward is dying, and Carlisle's been lonely, and so he's like, okay, I'm gonna make a friend, that's where Edward comes from. And then we learn about Edward's, this is the first time that we learn explicitly about Edward's, like, mass murdery past. He calls it a rebellious phase, by which he means, I was eating people. They weren't good people, but I was eating people. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason that Edward tells Bella this information is because he wants to be truthful because he wants to scare her off. You know, he's like, look, I love you and I want you to be safe. And I'm waiting for to hit on a truth that's finally going to make you see that this is not safe for you. And it's going to break my heart when you leave. But, like, that is what's best for you. And Bella's like, yeah, that's not going to happen. Like, I'm sorry. It's just not.
Bang, bang.
Then they go. Oh, and also this is where Bella learns that Edward and other vampires don't need to breathe, which...
Yeah, that really throws her.
Yeah, it's just important
it
info.
It does seem like it would have come up before now.
Yeah, but this is where it happens. Then they go to Edward's room, and it's nice. He has a wall of CDs, no bed, but there is a couch. Like, the windows are humongous. And Edward is just, like, content, you know? He's like, I'm, like, happy seeing you here. And it's sweet. Then there's, like, a little flirty moment. He, like kind of lunges at her. It's fun. And then Alice and Jasper show up. And Alice is like, it sounded like you were eating Bella for dinner, and we wondered if you would share. And everyone's like, titter, titter, ha, ha, ha. You know, it's a good time. But what Alice and Jasper actually want to say is that there's going to be a storm, and they're planning on playing baseball, and Bella is invited. And Bella is like, vampires play baseball? And Edward's like, it's the American pastime. Stupid. And that's what happens.
Wow. Delightful. 9.
You really covered it all, considering you didn't read it. Yeah, I give you a 9.
Thank you. Like I said, I skimmed through and was like, I remember this.
Yeah, it's not my favorite chapter.
It's a very transitional chapter. Yep. It really feels like, okay, we got a little rundown about Carlisle. And then he's like, want to hear more? And I'm like, is there more?
Is there more?
Is there...
like?
It's like, thank God. I want to hear less.
Bella's trying to be like, Carlisle, why don't you tell me this story? And thankfully, Stephanie was like, nah, he's busy. Edward can tell it.
Okay, but, you know, I do think it gives a nice little window into where maybe Edward has picked up on these, like, self-loathing and penancy type traits that he has.
Yes.
Like,
that's true.
Yes.
This is right here.
At one point, he says something about, like, Carlisle's medical career being his penance. And I was like, for what? He literally has killed zero humans.
He hasn't killed
anybody.
What
does he have to do penance for? There's no penance for Carlisle to pay.
It's just the existence of being a vampire.
Yeah. Legs, apparently, too much. And it's like...
It's like double original sin.
What do you mean?
Okay, so original sin... Adam and Eve were sinners, you know?
Yeah.
And they passed that sin down to all of humanity.
All of us.
It's original sin. Jesus shows up, okay? Yeah.
Jesus absolve us of our sins, though?
Yeah, he died for your sins.
He died
famously.
For my sins, so I can sin.
Gone, no sins.
Well, no, he died to wash away your original sin.
So I can keep sinning.
No.
So we have no original sin anymore because of Jesus.
Yeah, you don't have...
Okay, so that's over. Forget about it.
Yeah, like,
even
now you're good. Okay. You know? Somebody that's more religious is going to write in, like, correction. I went to Catholic school.
Let's
for
get
went to
Catholic sinning. Listen, I grew up Catholic, too.
I read the Bible in high school, so...
Yeah, so did I.
I know all of it.
Yeah, okay. But, like, your sin is good. Jesus took care of it for you, you know? Now, when you are reborn as a vampire, you... are just, like, automatically back corrupted and sinned.
Anyone who's born after Jesus sacrificed himself technically have the original sin.
That carries on, you know?
But why wouldn't it carry on to vampire sin?
He's eternal.
Because the point that Edward is making here, like, the literary criticism we're doing, when Carlisle is, like, he's got to do his penance. I'm saying because as a vampires inherently are, like, wrong and corrupt. It's a sin just to be. That's what he's penance
for.
What
a Catholic frame of mind.
I know.
That, it didn't come out the way
that
I thought.
And it's like only
I thought
his,
that was going to hit.
The only thing that makes him strong enough to resist killing people is how much he hates himself.
Yeah, he literally says for months he wandered by night seeking the loneliest places, loathing himself.
The strongest emotion that Stephanie knows. The strongest emotion that Stephanie knows of is self-loathing. Noble, righteous
self-loathers. And Carlo's out here just teaching it to his son. Of course, it doesn't seem like Jasper or Emmett. I picked up either of these.
Well, kids, they're like less original than Edward. You know, he came
Emmett's
before
pretty
Esme.
Original.
Emmett is from like the 80s.
Not original then.
But also, we gotta think about.
I'm pretty sure that's true.
What does that have to do with anything?
I don't think it was the 80s.
Okay. When was?
Because it wasn't that long after Rosalie was turned. You know what? Like a decade.
Okay, I'm wrong.
I know.
There's no way.
Maybe I'm thinking of like a headcanon that somebody wrote about Emmett being born in the 80s that I just liked turned in the 80s that I liked
Emmett's
so much that
an
I was like, yes, this is
true blazer now. With the cuffs rolled way up.
Wait, so you're telling me? So you're telling me all of them except for Carlisle Edward and Esme and Rose and Emmett were all turned within like 20 years.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's even dumber than I thought it was.
But Edward was with him for a long time and was just like, wow, he's so perfect. He's so good.
Okay, yes. I had a lot of thoughts about how Edward has not gone through a disillusionment of his own father despite having been alive for 100 years.
Yeah. That's not true.
That's quite strange.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Unless your father dies, you usually go through a period of disillusionment. This is like a cornerstone of the YA genre.
No.
Yeah, like you go through a period of understanding my parents are in fact not perfect people. They have flaws and sometimes they suck. And then you go through your like teenage, like say rebellious period where you move out and murder a bunch of people. And then you come around to an adult understanding of your adult parents.
Yeah, which is like deeper and ultimately more like fulfilling.
But here, yes. Edward still worships.
And instead, yeah, Edward like went off, had his rebellious phase, came back and was like, jokes, you were right the whole time, you're perfect.
You are Jesus.
That's better than all of us.
Carlisle didn't. Mistakes has Carlisle made?
None. Never.
He hasn't killed anybody.
He's never killed a single person, which is...
He's so self-sacrificing.
He's saved thousands of millions of lives.
Like...
He is Jesus.
He would never change somebody who had another option, which is also...
One mistake he made is that he didn't learn how to make a vampire despite living with the Volturi for several decades and being alive for like 300 years.
It's a real dumb.
Like, okay. He learned how to, like, he went to medical school and did infinite learning and never slept for 300 years and never was like, hey,
how does this work
actually?
Yeah. What we're referring to here, listeners, is Edward is saying that Carlisle didn't know exactly how the transformation worked, and so when he changed Edward, he recreated his own injuries that he experienced, because he just didn't know what was needed. Yeah. And so Edward's experience was much more painful than it really needed,
to be, because
Carlisle just didn't know better.
You're telling me in several decades of being with Volturi, they didn't change a single human?
Listen, he was just so disgusted.
Didn't mention it. I realized that actually makes no sense to me.
I don't know.
Like, the first time through, that made sense to me, but rereading it.
Yes, I agree. It did not occur to me how weird that was until we reread this.
I think I can kind of see it if Carlisle does see... Okay, here's the thing. There seems to be a distinction between how Carlisle sees vampirism and how Edward sees it. You know? Like, Carlisle does get over his self-loathing. Carlisle, we know from elsewhere in the text, believes in God, believes that they still have souls, believes that they aren't, like, irredeemable. And Edward is saying this was Carlisle's penance, but that's Edward projecting. We don't know that Carlisle saw this as a penance.
Yeah.
I lost my train of thought. I don't even remember where I was thinking this. What were you talking about?
They have different views of vampirism.
Oh, right. Okay. So maybe when he was with the Volturi, it was earlier in the process when he still wasn't like, yeah, being a vampire is fine, actually. And so he didn't want to know about that kind of thing.
I mean, yeah.
You know, if they were changing people, maybe he like just didn't want to be there for that.
He closed his eyes, you know? Just
yeah. Listeners, Melissa's covering her eyes but peeking through her fingers, and it's very funny.
Thank you, Maya.
Also, there's a beautiful dog outside, and he's wagging his tail. So maybe that's the best way to justify it that I can think of for why he would not know.
That's a good justification, yes.
Yeah, he's just like, I don't approve. I don't want to watch you do this.
I don't approve.
We should make more vampires.
I will not participate.
Yeah, I have my morals. I abstain. La 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 la.
Can't hear you.
I'm pretty sure I have to edit this.
No, that was good. Yeah, so that's the most boring part of the chapter, and honestly, I think we can move on now.
And okay. Part of the book.
The one part that I feel like is maybe sort of useful is the little foreshadowing about how Carlisle tries to kill himself and struggles to do destroying yourself as a vampire is very difficult to do, which becomes important in the next book. But which is
literally Edward's next journey. Look at that.
Ugh. And the Volturi, like, existing, but it doesn't feel like surely not, there was another way.
They're really not cast as any kind of even governing force. I mean, I'm sure Edward's also, like, not really interested in telling Bella details of vampire society.
Right.
But, like,
he's breaking the law enough.
But, like, I don't know, you know, if this was, like, a forethought-out plan, you could be like, yeah, the Volturi, they're kind of, you know, let's just not go to Italy, okay?
How do you like Brazil?
I love May. Brazil. I hear it's a cool place.
Yeah, we'll check that out.
I don't know. Is there a way that we could get this information in a less, like, let us sit down and talk about some backstory?
I mean, I don't even know that we need a backstory here. I don't know that it's necessary.
I think that we need to know when Edward, like, joined the family.
Sure.
But they could have talked about that on the car ride home from the meadow.
Yeah. Yeah. In more detail.
They could just in their question section. Let me ask you a question.
And I feel like the destroying a vampire bit, like, that's also sort of useful for the climax of this book, but right. I feel like it's going to be very hard to kill James. Here is how we have to kill James.
Right.
And, like, that kind of accomplishes the whole thing, the same thing.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't need this bit. In fact, I know I skipped right till we go to Edward's room. Every single time I read this book.
And there's the fact that they don't breathe, which comes up because he's like, and then Carlisle swam to France, which is honestly hilarious. And he's like, well, yeah, it was really easy because we don't have to breathe. And that, too, could have come up in a more of a, like, I can just hold my breath when I feel like murdering you. And then she could be like, well, you can't do that forever. And then he could be like, well,
I could. You want a bet?
You want a bet?
I had to hold my breath that entire first class that you were in the room. Yeah. She's like, do you mean? And he's like, well, I could just always hold my breath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Easy. I think what's, like, actually really important here is that this is where we get the philosophy behind their lifestyle.
Yeah, fair.
Yes, that's fair.
Like, I do think it's valuable to understand how... Why? Because as Melissa always says, Melissa, you're always like, but why are they doing this? Oh, like, they're vampires. It's in their nature.
I feel like that's more Libya than me.
Oh, I feel like...
No, I feel like I am
it's
like
their nature.
Yeah, I guess that's me.
They're predators.
You're right.
That's you.
You're right.
Oh, okay. Well, as Olivia always says, like, why are they doing this?
Yeah.
This is why.
Okay. Yes, that is an excellent point. And I do think that that is good information to have and helps us, you know, especially as Edward is like, I just think you're gonna get scared and run away. And, like, you just got done telling me about how your dad saves lives and has never hunted a human in his entire life. Like, obviously, I'm not gonna.
Yeah, I'm actually feeling really safe right now.
Okay, but do we have anything to say about how he went off and murdered a bunch of people?
Right. Great question. Honestly, I always just, like, skipped over that when I read this book. Like, that never stuck until I reread with you guys. I'm like, oh yeah, Edward became like a real murderer.
I mean, it doesn't
really
bother Bella.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It didn't bother Bella, and so it didn't bother me.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not bothered either.
Masterclass in how reading books works.
Like, obviously, it's not awesome.
No. And I mean, they are all bad guys.
Yes, I think he gets to be noble about
it. Yeah.
He gets to be noble about it. He's like, I only hunted people who were about to do something really horrible. I think that if Stephanie had given Edward a Carlisle backstory where he never killed anybody, I would be really mad about it.
It's like Bella literally says he's perfect and he is.
And he is? Yeah. Like, that's this is at least a major flaw of Edward's.
Right. And at least, I don't know, that makes sense to me. Like, yeah. Like, who's going to just be like, you get told we only eat animals and be like, okay. Just believe that for 100 years?
Right.
Yeah. Not trying a little something?
Yeah. I think it's just it's a vampire novel, so of course.
Yeah, you gotta have some people eating.
And it helps, like, establish attention for Bella later when she wants to become a vampire, but one of the big things she is scared about is hurting people.
Yes,
that's true. It's like, well, only Carlisle hasn't done it. Rosalie did kill people, but it was motivated differently. So, like, Rosalie also, like, you could counter, you could not. You know, could go either way.
But. Okay, wait. Counter. There is vampire media where you don't have to kill a person to drink their blood.
Yes.
And that is not the universe that we live in here in Twilight.
It's true.
It's true.
It is harder
to
keep them.
We have talked about that before. Like,
it's harder to keep them
blood
quiet,
banks.
I guess.
Blood banks.
Yeah.
This is something that is explored in a lot of different vampire media.
Yes.
You do not have to kill someone.
Right.
You know, this probably, the time period in which you wouldn't have to kill someone to drink their blood is probably relatively small. Because before the advent of the blood bank,
like. No, I'm saying, like, you could bite a person.
Oh, you could bite, but
drink
not
a
bite.
Lip, like,
drink
you a can bit. Donate, you can donate a pint of blood when you go I donate blood.
Saying.
Like, it doesn't kill you to lose
yeah, the amount
the,
that
a
they
little bit
need.
Of blood.
Right.
And,
it's
like one of those
draining multiple
one of those
animals.
Bags, like, that's the size of a human yeah. stomach. As discussed in Twilight, that's not how much blood they can fit in their bodies.
Oh,
but, like,
so
if this
gross.
Was a rational universe.
And Carlisle's a doctor. He has access.
Yeah. It so is like, kind of funny that this sets up, like, if I read Twilight completely cold, having read a bunch of other Twilight, a bunch of other vampire media, I'd be like, oh, well, he's a doctor. Obviously, that's how they're getting their blood.
I do know that this was my first vampire novel, though. I remember being very, like, also, there wasn't really any vampire YA, and, like, there was, but, like, nothing that was very accessible to me as a 14-year-old.
Did I already recommend Peeps by Scott Westerfeld?
Yes.
You
yes,
must
you
have.
Did.
I love that book. It's sick.
Sick. I really wanted to talk about the fact that Bella's so chill about going to Edward's room.
Okay, yeah, let's definitely talk about going to Edward's
room. Oh my god. He's like, here's my room, and she just goes in, and she's like, wow!
Oh wow,
and
look
like,
all your CDs.
Every single time I read this point, I'd be like, she's going into a boy's room.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And a boy
and
that's
for the
like,
first time.
Like, they're unsupervised.
Unsupervised going into a boy's room.
Although everybody in the house has perfect hearing.
It's true.
But Bella doesn't really know this yet.
She
I don't know that she knows that yet.
I don't, yeah, she hasn't really contextualized that, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But, like, truly, every single time I read this book, I was like, I'm like, Bella, you have no feelings about going into Edward's room? His room?
Your stomach doesn't even do a little
alone?
Flip as you
not
step through
flip.
The doorway?
And this made me think about the very first time I ever went into a boy's room. And it was in college. I never went to a boy's room in high school. Everything was always kept in public areas because I didn't have
really?
A boyfriend. Yes. So, like, if I was going out with boys, it wasn't to their rooms. Like,
oh,
that's where,
wait,
that's
do you mean, like, to a boyfriend's
den.
Room or, like, any boy's room?
I mean, specifically, like, a boyfriend's room. I'm sure
oh, okay,
I went into
okay.
boys, and you know, but that's different. It doesn't, it's whatever. A boy
well, I
like,
thought you were counting that. And I was like, wow, I was in so many boys' rooms.
No, no.
But
a
they
boys
weren't my
room,
friends.
A boy's room of someone who I was romantically involved
okay.
with.
Okay, yeah, it's sure. different. It's different.
It's it different. And, I lost my train of thought.
It was in college.
It was,
you never
yeah, it was in college. It was like also the first time I ever got drunk.
Wow.
And you know,
same
and that's
a lot to experience
yeah.
all at once.
It wasn't intentional, but you know,
well,
it was like the first
not.
Week of college. Everyone parties at each other's houses and dorm rooms and shit.
It's very
so,
Cincinnati.
Right, and so, and I remember very specifically how this happened, because this boy, who I never met him before in my life, and he was just like, yeah, he's like, do you like movies? And I was like, I love movies. I love them.
I am always like, saying
this. He was like, I have a bunch of movie posters in my room. Do you want to see them? And I was like,
not even like, yeah. I have like a movie we can watch. Just like, you want to see a movie poster?
Yeah, and I was like, I would love to. And we go up into his room, and drunk me is like, I'm in your room right now, and you got me in here by telling me that you have movie posters, and I just couldn't stop laughing. And then I was like, obviously I was a virgin at this point, too. I was like, I'm not sleeping with the first guy who gets me into his bedroom with movie posters. Who
invites
posters.
Me to see movie posters.
And I couldn't stop laughing, and then I laughed. I
was like, well, this guy was like, wow, this girl's cute. I'm gonna invite her back to my room. You showed up, laughed hysterically, and was like, peace.
Okay, bye.
Bye. You probably wrecked his confidence, and I love
it. We did make out a little bit, but I couldn't stop.
Oh, laughing. Maybe his confidence was fine. Oh, maybe not.
You couldn't handle it.
I kept laughing. Wow. Because, like, at a certain point, I realized, I'm like, I'm in this room because I like movies.
I don't really think that's why really you were in there.
I mean, it worked on me, though. I was an innocent, newly drunk student.
What posters were they?
I couldn't tell you. Couldn't tell you.
So sure the western wall of his room is completely covered with shelf after shelf of CDs.
Impeccable. Impact.
One, Bella always knows what cardinal direction she is facing.
No matter where she is. No matter where she is. And then she walks into the woods and she's like, I've never seen never seen a tree before. I don't know. I'm going to die here. And then she's like, but the sun was sinking in the west.
Like, she's infallible. She always knows what cardinal direction she is facing. What's really interesting to me that Edward has all these CDs is I kind of wish that it was music from throughout time. You know, like, it's CDs from throughout time. Like, he has, like, CDs of music from like the 50s, whatever.
And LPs.
Yeah, but if he had, like, so the cassettes and the eight-track and the records, a Victrola for really old records.
And he just what if had, like, all a
gramophone?
You're right. He would so keep all of them.
Yes. Because also, he would totally subscribe to the, you have to hear it on the medium.
On the original medium.
For. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the best edit of Twilight I've ever heard in my life.
Thank you so much.
Wow.
Bare minimum, he would be a vinyl guy over CDs.
Yes, for sure.
Especially because vinyl like, was not even remotely in at this point, because, you know, we got shiny new CDs. He would
be but he would have been like, CDs completely destroy the quality and character of all music, and it would be like, but CDs have been out for 15 years, and he'd be like, so what?
And he'd be like, maybe your human ears can't tell the difference, but trust me, my vampire ears notice.
I can hear.
No. And then, what he chooses to play, though, is soft jazz, and I, like, gag.
That's when I would have laughed and laughed. Like, you know what? Let's break up.
Soft jazz.
Can I share with you a sentence that I have never noted any time that I've ever read Twilight before this time? The floor was covered with a thick golden carpet, and the walls were hung with heavy fabric in a slightly darker shade.
Ugh. It's just yellow gold. What? Yeah, I know.
It is amazing because you imagine it as white because everything in the house is white, and they make that like.
And
whole point.
It's like, and his room is wall, like one carpet material,
thick, good acoustics. Golden carpet. One whole wall is windows, so that fucks your acoustics right there. Then another wall is CDs, and the two remaining walls, presumably
fabric,
are hung with heavy fabric in a dark golden color.
Just slightly darker than the carpet.
that it's just not how I was imagining it.
It doesn't sound appealing to me.
It is kind of vampiric.
It is. It's like the most originally vampiric vibe thing going on.
Yeah, like, they're not going to just paint their walls when they could put on, like, a thick curtain just directly against the wall.
Exactly.
It's for the acoustics.
Yeah.
Then they're, like, cute and bantery and weird, and they're, like, rolling around together.
They're, like, flirting.
It's really cute. It's so cute. We gotta read it. We can't just tell them it's cute. Okay, so, Bella's like, you're still waiting for the running and screaming, aren't you? I hate to burst your bubble, but you're really not as scary as you think you are. I don't find you scary at all, actually.
Cute!
Edward is
I
like...
I lied.
Yeah. He flashes a wide, wicked smile. You really shouldn't have said that, he chuckled. He growled, a low sound in the back of his throat, his lips curled back over his perfect teeth. His body shifted suddenly, half-crouched, tense like a lion about to pounce. I backed away from him, glaring. You wouldn't. That's, like, so cute. Bella being like, don't you dare.
Don't you dare.
I didn't see him leap at me. It was much too fast. I only found myself suddenly airborne, and then we crashed onto the sofa, knocking it into the wall. All the while, his arms formed an iron cage of protection around me. I was barely jostled, but I was still gasping as I tried to right myself. Fucking you were cute. Saying, he growled playfully, that you are a very, very terrifying monster.
Cute!
It's so fun.
Look at them having fun and being cute.
Yeah, they finally have admitted they love each other. They're on the same page.
Oh, and Edward has been like, I thought that this was going to be nice, like not having to lie to you anymore, but actually it's like really, I kind of like it.
Yeah.
It's awesome. This is like, I thought it would be good, but it's
amazing. I'm only like just realizing that we get like only this moment, like a solid chapter of like
pretty. Of talking about Carlisle.
Right. Talking about fucking Carlisle before we go straight to murder, I must save you.
Well, we get the baseball first.
Okay, but like that's
yeah, you get like the ride to baseball
and the Charlie stuff.
Right? Okay, but like I was saying, like as far as cute,
it's not much.
Like Edward and Bella just being happy that they're together.
It's not much.
It is a chapter. Blink and you miss it.
Yeah, this is a major like failure of the series overall.
Overall,
because each book, you are just clinging to the little moments that have this. The beginning of New Moon, they're like, yeah, it was like a summer of bliss, and it was so fun.
Is that right? Just that description. We don't even get a moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't get a full scene. Like, give us a full scene.
No, instead we get Edward being weird.
Yeah.
And moody.
Immediately. And then even though you want to get to the conflict, you have to establish the normal first. The good in spot. Order to feel the devastation of losing the normal.
Exactly.
And I just want you to.
And it would be nice.
Yeah. It would be nice.
I also really like that Alice is being, like, cute and normal and acting like, hey, we're vampires, and everybody knows that, and we can just make some jokes.
Make a joke about it.
Us being vampires and you being a human, and we're all cool here. And I accept you.
We're so cool.
And everyone else, every time Alice will do this, everyone else kind of tenses. Like, ooh. But Bella responds to it well. This is kind of where we get the beginning of... This is where
their
we begin to
friendship
understand.
That we never get to see.
Yeah, this is where we begin to understand why they are close. So later when we're told they're close, you're like, okay,
this is where they become best friends. It's right here.
Apparently. Yeah.
So there's a knock at the door. And Edward is still, like, kind of crouched over Bella.
Oh my god, he keeps her on his lap when his family comes in.
Yeah, he, like, sits down but doesn't let her move away.
Teenage me was like, oh my god, stop. They don't, like, leap apart. Like,
no embarrassment?
No embarrassment.
Well, Bella's embarrassed, but Edward is proud.
Oh, that's so cute! I fucking love it!
And he's just like, come on in.
Come on in.
Go ahead. So they do. They go ahead. And Alice is like, it sounded like you were having Bella for lunch, and we came to see if you would share. And Edward says, sorry, I don't believe I have enough to spare. He's like, she's all mine.
She's all mine.
No, she's all mine. That's my girlfriend.
That's my girlfriend.
Then Jasper's, like, feeling it out, like, mm-hmm. lingering in the doorway. But then he walks in. He's like, well, Alice says it's going to storm. And Emmett wants to play baseball. Do you want to come? And Alice immediately is like, Bella's coming. Bella's also coming.
Of course you should bring Bella.
Which, like, your boyfriend's sister actively involving you and ensuring that you are coming is incredible. Amazing.
But I feel like this is the place where we can talk about what Olivia, you attempted to talk about at the previous podcast about how Alice really should be seeing the future here.
Yeah, she can see the storm.
The storm, and they have decided
to play baseball.
You see, so they are
going to go play baseball.
Which will then the other vampires will hear you play the baseball, and then they will decide to come and play baseball.
Like, surely there are many individual plays in the baseball game that would all lead to the same thing. It doesn't have to be like, well, if you didn't pitch it at that moment and they didn't hit it right then,
yeah, then like, it wouldn't have heard. They're gonna possibility. Hear it.
Yeah, there are many universes in which they come, and then Bella almost dies. Like, this is, it's also, like, it's not a blip.
If you see a future in which Bella is a vampire, you, I would assume, would see
or is dead
baseball scene.
Because, or is dead.
Yes, so, like, or is dead, right? Like, both of those
like, there's a very narrow.
With the baseball.
You know when they're, like, drive racing down the road in midnight sun and Alice is like, there's one reality where Bella's alive and it's this one. And it's like...
One in 1,300,000,000.
Okay, so that means...
Two's chance.
If you play baseball, there are many, many possibilities that Bella dies. Like, surely you would notice that.
Right. And it starts.
And Alice baseball. Has been looking.
Starts now.
Yeah. What was... I know
right,
that
because Edward is like, what are the best. Chances that she dies? And the whole of Midnight Sun, she's like, it's right. this chance that she dies.
I know that in Midnight Sun, Stephanie did her best to explain why Alice doesn't see the future here, but I don't remember what it was.
I'm still on board with my theory that their understanding of Alice's visions is not correct. Is
faulty. Oh, yes. Yes.
And agree. So that's they're the best saying you're right. This is how it works, but that's not actually how her visions work.
Right. That's Midnight the best Sun actually got. Made it worse with the whole car thing.
It made it way worse.
So much worse.
Yeah. Yeah, Midnight Sun made it make way less sense than it did before.
My favorite part of the scene, though, is when they're like, oh, we need to have thunder in order to play ball. And Bella's like, well, I need an umbrella. And they all three laughed aloud. What an absurd question.
You Bella, you dumbass.
They really umbrella. Do. They really imagine? Do that to her all the time. It's like when she's like, she like asks Edward, can you eat food? And she's like, what are you, a dumbass?
Are you an idiot?
He swam to France. People swim the channel all the time, Bella. They swim like, the channel all the idiot. Time.
Not like that. Not for transit.
I'm like, you could have also just said he went to France. You're the one who was like, he swam to France. I'm going to have a question, okay?
Yeah, he set her up. Okay? This is the saddest thing I've ever seen.
Just, they all three laughed aloud. Just like, my picture, all three vampires. Just...
What's the arrow laugh? It's like,
fuck, what is it?
Is it ha 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 arrow laughed chuckling?
It's three. I know there's like chuckled. Three references
yeah, what's
to
the
laughing.
Third one? Maybe it's like arrow laughed, ha ha ha, he chuckled?
Something like that.
Is it ha 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 or is it he he he?
I think it's a ha ha ha.
Ha ha ha.
My phone is only ever slow when I'm looking something up for the podcast.
Tip, tip, type, type.
Oh, no, it's a giggle.
It's arrow laughed. Start.
Ha, 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 he giggled.
Oh, incredible. No. Anyway, these vampires just have
out here laughing at everything.
They're gonna play baseball. That's it.
So yeah, that's where the chapter ends. Baseball. Bella's like, you guys care about baseball? Why? Which is a great question, honestly. Why? It is maybe the most, like, un-vampire sport that you could pick. Like, hitting a very breakable ball with a very breakable bat.
I guess you're right.
That
you would think the
field
is
only like they don't expand the field at all. Like it's very.
I think they do a little bit, but like not enough.
Yeah, the field is huge,
but not big enough.
But not like the. But like it's not. Yeah, it's not big enough.
But it still doesn't track with how big with how fast we know they can run. I feel like it should be like track and field. That should be like the vampire thing, you know? Like they compare how far they can jump.
And throw stuff.
They run races.
My note from last time when we read this was invent their own game, like avoid the boulder.
What does that mean? I don't know.
They throw boulders.
Dodgeball, but with boulders. At
each other. Listen, they are infinitely capable of coming up with ideas and creativity.
Blindfolded
okay?
soccer.
You would come up with something weird, I think.
You're right. Yeah, yeah. It would be something weird.
As a former camp counselor, like, I do have a lot of experience looking at my environment and pulling items and inventing a game on a spot.
What can we do with this? Exactly.
I just know how to do that.
And you know that they gotta do that shit because, like, they can't really actually use most human things without them just breaking. So you know that they're constantly being like,
yeah,
what can I do with my special vampire-ness?
Can I tell you guys, there was a time when we had a bouncy ball and a bunch of bored kids, so I put them in a circle, and I invented this game where we ask a question, and we bounce the ball in the circle, and whoever it goes to, like, each person has a predetermined answer. So, like, you're yes, you're no, you're maybe so, you know? And then, like, we got it. And these kids kept being like, he's cheating. I'm like, how could somebody possibly cheat at this game that doesn't have real rules, doesn't have points, and doesn't have winners and losers?
Because kids are dumb, Maya.
How could he be cheating?
Okay, best sentence, worst sentence.
My best sentence is the London of my youth. Because it's like a little bit dumb and dad-like, but it does absolutely achieve, like, hear this date that's a very long time ago, and then Carlisle's just like very casually like, ah, yes. When I grew up.
It's when like, I wow, was you're baby. Old.
You're old.
I'll stick with my worst sentence being, they all three laughed aloud.
They all three is weird.
They all three.
I noticed that when I read it, actually. They all three. I don't know what this is, but I'm going to read it. Okay, he just said that he would kill murderers. And this is Bella thinking to herself. And Edward as he hunted, terrible and glorious as a young god, unstoppable. Which is a little bit like Edward being murdery is a little bit hot to her.
It is.
And
she likes the danger. She's
she does like
it.
The danger. Mm-hmm. And I really feel like we step so lightly on how she wants him to be a bad boy, even though he's like the
goodest
sparkliest
boy,
vampire that has ever been. I don't like the choice of young god.
I liked the it's choice effective. Of young god because it's like, yeah, it was effective. And I mean, I don't like it in the way that I don't like Bella perceiving this, like, her partner as like a young god.
Yes,
like,
that is what it is. That's what right. it is.
But like, as a use in a sentence of like, oh my god, I can only imagine
that's
what
true.
This brand new vampire
I it's want. Effective right. in the sentence.
Right.
My least favorite, Edward and Bella have entered the office and Carlisle, to like learn about history, whatever, Carl says, where are you going to start? The Wagoner, Edward replied, placing one hand lightly on my shoulder and spinning me around to look back toward the door we'd just come through. I don't like that because I don't know what the Wagoner means. Yeah. Like, is the Wagoner the artist?
Of the painting? Actually never
the setting
really describes. I think it's the name of the painting.
Yeah, and the I feel that the context clues are not sufficient for me to know. Yeah. And I don't like that.
My other worst sentence is when Edward taps a painting that's probably like fucking 300 years old. Like, don't touch the art.
I mean, he'll be like, I don't have oil on my fingers.
Oh, right.
That was really funny. It, like, that sounded really similar to like Statler and Waldorf, you know? No, like, the three of us in concert.
God.
My best is actually a few sentences, but this is after Carlyle eats the deer. His strength returned and he realized there was an alternative to being the vile monster he feared. Had he not eaten venison in his former life, over the next months his new philosophy was born. He could exist without being a demon. He found himself again. I think it is like a powerful way to describe this kind of second transformation, you know? Like,
I agree with that.
For all we know, he's the very first vampire to ever
go for all with we the know.
Animals thing.
Wow.
I'll go with my best as being... It's a sentence that I normally would not have read previously, but it is essentially just describing the view outside of Edward's bedroom.
You mean like you would skip over it as you were reading?
Yeah, I would literally skip over it. Cause, like,
yeah, that's probably why I never read that sentence about the drapes that are
going on. I know, exactly.
Like, you're just skimming that part.
Like, his view looked down on the winding Soul Duck River across the untouched forest to the Olympic mountain range. The mountains were much closer than I would have believed. And I'm like, wow, that's nice. That's my first time ever reading that sentence.
You've read this book so many times.
Yeah. I was like, I don't give a fuck about no fucking mountains.
It does sound really beautiful.
Exactly. I'm like, that's what I would be doing at this house all the time, is just looking out the giant wall glass.
The wall windows.
Yeah, maybe you read it now because you're like, ooh, real estate.
Real estate, exactly.
Just in a different point in your life.
Exactly.
All right, email us with questions or comments or things that you found in Twilight the 50th time that you read it.
Or the first time you ever went into a boy's room and how you got there. Or
the first time you ever went into a boy's room.
Yeah, tell us.
At twilightfacepodcast@gmail.com. If you'd like to support us, like, subscribe, rate, review, you can follow along for updates or support us at patreon.com/twilightfacepodcast. Thank you to all of our patrons, Melina, Karen, Ed, Laura, Andrea, Limi, Chance, King's Gambit, Rachel, Sabine, Hannah, Parker, Marissa, Emily, and Bridget. You can also follow us at @Twilight_Phase on Twitter and Insta. Disclaimer, we own nothing. The Twilight universe and all characters belong only to Stephanie Meyer. Please don't sue us.
I just
looked up, which I never, ever do. I don't know if I've ever looked up while I'm reading the credits ever once in 140 episodes. And they're both, like, mouthing along, and Maya's, like, pointing at the spine of the
Olivia,
book, Stephanie Meyer.
We act it out every time.
Every time.
When you say all characters belong only to Stephanie Meyer, we, like, point at the book. It's like, please don't sue us. It's like you drag your finger across your neck. You've never seen us do this. We do this every episode.
I've never noticed you doing.
We have, like, choreography.
And every single time I edit the episode, I can hear our mouths, like, going along with Olivia, but I leave it in.
We're gonna have to videotape it so that I can look at it. We can post it. Audio editing by Maya Marlette, cover image by Laura Sherber. Our theme music is written and performed by Adrian Moore.
We'll be back next week. Wait, is that true? How long are you in Scotland?
No, we won't be back next week. I think we're back the week after. No,
what if
then
you're
getting married?
Next week.
Then you're getting married. I think we might be off 2 weeks.
Wait, okay, so the following week. I'm still in. I think we'll probably leave town on the 5th.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll be off for a week and then back for a week and then probably off.
Yeah. Well, actually, even the week after that,
maybe two.
I'm going to Texas for work.
Ooh, that's exciting. Okay, bye.
Okay. so we won't be back.
Oh, wait, yeah, so we won't be back next week, and if you don't like it, you can bite me.
Longest Melissa laughs.